Thank you, worship team. That was awesome. Appreciate that very much. Can you guys hear me okay? All right, good. Good. Well, with the hair salons closed, many of you are looking kind of shabby, especially Rick. Yeah, I'm sure I am as well. There was a teenager years ago who wanted to borrow his dad's car. He said, "Dad, can I borrow your car?" He said, "Son, if you'll get a haircut, you can borrow my car. But until you get a haircut, then you're not going to borrow my car." He said, "Well, you're going to have to walk wherever you go." Son said, "So, well, Jesus had long hair." And the dad said, "Well, he had to walk everywhere he went too, didn't he?" So hopefully you guys are getting a haircut pretty quick, and myself as well. I'm getting kind of shaggy myself. Today, we're going to talk about hold on a second. Here we go. I'm still trying to figure out how to do this. So we're going to be talking about the cure. And everybody's looking for a cure for this COVID-19. And hopefully they're going to discover something pretty quick. There have been a lot of people just wanting to help. I really appreciate particularly those people that working in the hospital and working with those individuals coming in. I mean, they're kind of on the front line and putting themselves out there. And I really appreciate what they're doing. Emergency vehicles, there's a lot of people, police officers, just a lot of people who are out there doing what they can to help folk around this area. There are people in our community who are making masks for people to have for protection. We even have a lady in our church who's helping with that. And so I just want to say thank you to those individuals who are doing those things. Many of you are praying for those who are sick, for everyone in our nation and around the world. And I want to say thank you for your prayers. There have been many who've offered possible cures. Somebody has said if you drink water that's above 98.6 degrees, hot water, that will kill the virus in your sinuses and in your throat. And that's actually bunk. But that's a myth that it's supposed to cure those things. Drink coffee or hot liquids. For us who are drunk coffee drinkers, we ought to not ever get it. We're good. Our president suggested chloroquine is a proven cure. And Tom Hanks believes that helped her. Tom Hanks' wife believes that helped her overcome the COVID-19. The truth is the anti-malarial drug hydrochloroquine and similar compound, chloroquine, is currently used mostly for patients with autoimmune diseases. But it's not effective really for the COVID-19, according to doctors. Drinking lots of water doesn't prevent it. While drinking water is good for you, it does not prevent the coronavirus by simply keeping your throat moist. Also, you may have heard of the herd immunity. Well, the herd immunity is that just let everybody get it. Oh. And then the survival of the fittest is kind of, and then it'll be over. Just let everybody get it, and it'll be over. That may work, but it won't work for those who die from it. Somebody has suggested blow drying your face and nose. They say that, you know, that they've shared that hot air seems to kill the coronavirus. That's not helpful, to say the least. And you may have heard that our president said last Friday, that injecting a disinfectant such as bleach could help. But I think he said he was sarcastic, but most of us need to continue to do what we're doing and not try to be doctors.
Amen.
And, you know, he needs to be the president and not the doctor. Said, I need to be the pastor and not the doctor. There's been a lot of things offered up to help this COVID-19, but let me ask you a question. If there was something that you could do, would you do it? Well, I want to give you a solution. I'm going to be doctor today. Dr. Smith. So there's a passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 7.
Become slideshow.
Mm-hmm.
Click on slideshow. Here. Yeah.
Okay. So, let me kind of give you a background of what's going on here. So, as you remember, David wanted to build a temple for the Lord. And God told David, I'm not going to let you build the temple. I'm going to let your son build the temple. And so David prepared everything. I mean, everything was in place, and all Solomon had to do was kind of put the puzzle together. Yeah. And so when Solomon, David's son, became the king, one of the first things he did was put this temple together. And so he had the temple built. And after the temple was built, he had a prayer of dedication. And in the prayer of dedication, after that, the glory of the Lord's presence filled the place. And people fell on their faces. And they began to worship the Lord. And so we're kind of picking up here at the end of what was the finishing of the temple. Solomon had prayed and he had made some requests to the Lord, and you can find that in chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles, his prayer. He made some requests to the Lord. And so have you ever prayed to the Lord and not expected an answer? Just kind of, Lord, these are my requests and this is what I'd like. That's kind of what it seemed like Solomon was doing. I mean, he was pouring his heart out. But then one evening, one night, the Lord answered him. Verse 11. So Solomon finished the temple of the Lord. I can't read all of my here. So Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. Then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Then if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. So let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time, and then we'll look at this passage more in depth. Father, I come before you. Lord, I know that you have a solution for what ails us. I know you have a remedy for this COVID-19. Lord, you are fully aware of what's going on. It's not like you just put everything in motion and backed away. But Lord, you're fully aware of what's going on. And Lord, I'm trusting that through this, that there will be untold numbers who come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But Lord, as we go and look at your word today, I pray, Lord, that you would ignite each of our hearts to do what we can do. And Lord, I believe that you've given us a recipe for putting an end to this plague. And so, Lord, I thank you for this. I pray you just to move with us and help me as I present this message. Because, Lord, I believe it is from you. And, Lord, this is what you've instructed me to teach. And so, Lord, I know that it's for each one of us. And so, Lord, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Solomon's name, do you know, Solomon was kind of his nickname. Do you know his real name? His real name is Jedediah. And it means beloved of the Lord. That's what the Lord named him. David named him Solomon. The Lord said, this is Jedediah. This is one who's beloved by me. The Lord had a plan for Solomon, and just as he does for every one of us. And one of the plans he had for Solomon is to build this temple. And after Solomon prays, the Lord responds. And I need you to understand that Solomon is praying for the children of Israel. So you look in chapter 6, he's talking about the children of Israel. Lord, when my people, if your people go astray, Lord, help them come to this temple and pray. And Lord, if there's plagues and pestilences that come, then Lord, have them, or if they're taken into other lands and become slaves and in exile, have them come and look toward this temple and pray. When the Lord responds, when the Father responds, he does not respond regarding just the children of Israel. Because I want you to recognize who he's talking about. In verse 14, it says, then if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and restore their land. So who is he talking about? Who is the Father include in this response or this answer to Solomon's prayer? Everyone who believes. He says, if my people. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are one of God's children. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are a Christian. Every believer, you and I, this answer to Solomon's prayer is directed toward each of us. Okay? So if it's directed toward us, I want to hear what he has to say. Sometimes things are directed just to Israel, but sometimes it's directed to us as believers as well. And so what God says is that you believers, so does this include everybody? It includes all believers, but it doesn't include those who are not believers. And a lot of times we look at the problems in our country and we blame the politicians, We blame Hollywood. We blame a lot of people. But I want to just let you know that the world is going to act like the world, right?
Yep.
The world is going to do worldly things. We can't expect the world to act like Christians. So when the Lord is speaking here, he's not talking to Hollywood. When the Lord is speaking here, he's not talking to Hallmark.
Yeah.
Okay. When the Lord is speaking here, he's not talking to the professional sports personnel. He's not talking to the world at large. He's not talking to the unregenerate people, those who have never received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. He's not talking to those who have never been born again. He is talking to those who know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Unregenerate people are going to act like unregenerate people. Before I met Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I could not live a good life. I made horrible decisions. I made decisions that were that affected me and those around me. People who aren't born again by the blood of Jesus will act out in perversion. They will act out sexually immoral, drinking, getting high on pot, viewing porn, snapping nude pictures of themselves and putting it out on Snapchat or other social media. That's what unregenerate people do. Unregenerate people are stealing, shoplifting, taking the Lord's name in vain, producing and watching skin flicks, laughing at things the Lord grieves over, gossip, slander, sex trafficking, drug addiction, homosexuality, wife swapping, you name it. That's what unregenerate people do. Every filthy and vile thing imaginable, that's what the world does. That's who they are. But that's not who we are. And God isn't talking to the world at large. He's talking to those who claim the name of Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So that's who he's talking to. He says, if my people who are called by my name will do this, if they will humbly pray. So President Trump called for a day of prayer on March 15th. And I applaud his action. That's what needs to happen, is for us to pray, to beseech the God of heaven to intervene in this pandemic. But it appears that God didn't hear our prayers, because it's still rampant. And we don't know what's to be done in the future. We don't know if God's going to answer. So why didn't God answer our prayers? I'm sure there were millions of Christians who took that day and they prayed. So let's look at the rest of the verse. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek his face. When we were praying, and President Trump asked us to pray that there would be a termination of the COVID-19, that it would be eradicated, it was not. I think possibly one of the reasons that it did, his the Lord did not answer our prayer, is because we were seeking his favor rather than his face. Scripture says that we are to seek his face. We're not to seek his gifts, but seek his face. Have you ever just sought to relate to God in the proper way? Rather than just seeking something you want for him, you're actually seeking a right relationship with him. That's what this means, is you seek his face, is to, I just want a right relationship with you. I don't want so much your favor. I don't want, it's not so much that I want more money, or I want a better car, or I want a bigger home, or I want. What I want more than anything is to relate properly to you and have a right relationship with you. In Jeremiah 29:11-13, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." He says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So, what is the Lord going to do if we seek him with all our heart? He will let us find him. When Jeremiah penned this proclamation from the Lord, the children of Israel were in exile. They were in exile in Babylon. And they had gone through some very, very, very difficult times in their life. And they were dreaming of the good old days. They were dreaming of what it used to be like in the land of Israel. And what Jeremiah is doing is Jeremiah is letting the people know that God has not forgotten about them. He's letting the people know that he has a plan for their life, and it's a very, very, very good plan. But he says, you're going to find that plan only when you seek me with all your heart, only when you seek me on my terms. So he says that what we need to do is not only seek his face, but we also need to turn from our wicked ways. And that is repent. Now, again, who is he talking to?
People.
What people?
Us people.
Us people.
All of
his people. Okay? All of his believers. He's not talking to the world at large. He's talking to us. Now, I know this is a very difficult message. It's very difficult to hear sometimes because we actually like to point at everybody else and say it's their fault. But God is saying to us that we as his children need to repent. We need to turn from our wicked ways. Did you know that it's hard sometimes to tell the difference between a Christian and the world? Sometimes Christians act no different from the world. Many Christians participate in the same activities as unbelievers. And God says, if you want me to hear your prayers, then you must turn away once and for all from the sins of which you're so engaged. There were periods in history when the Israelites would turn away from God and they would begin to seek after other gods. This was very abominable in God's eyes. It grieved him. In one such instance, I mean, it was all through Israel's history, One time while they were going through the desert, do you remember the guy named Balaam whose donkey talked to him?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Balaam did not curse Israel because God said, you're not going to do it. But Balaam was so desirous of the money of the Moab, that the Midianites, the Moabites had, that he came up with a plan, and he gave the plan to the king of Midian, Balak. He said, here's what you need to do. You need to begin to send women from Midian, from Moab, into the land, into the camp of the Israelites. And by that way, you can draw them to begin worshiping the other gods. And when they begin doing that, they will bring a curse upon themselves. And so that's the advice that Balaam gave to Balak, and Balak took that advice. And when the Israelites began doing that, there was a plague, a pestilence that began to infect Israelites. And there was an Israelite leader named Zimri who brought a Midianite woman named Cozbi into his tent. And this plague was going all around, and people knew that people were dying. 24,000 people died during this time. And Phinehas, a priest of the Lord, came in, and he took a dagger, a spear, and he drove the spear into Cozbi and into Zimri. And when he did that, the plague stopped. Okay. And the Lord was very pleased with what Phinehas had done. Now that's a weird story. And the Lord is not telling us to go out and kill everybody that's sinning. That's not what he's doing. But what he is doing is he's sharing with us how damaging sin is in our own life, and we need to take whatever measures are necessary to rid that from our heart, and rid that from our lives. We have to put to death, by whatever means is necessary, the sin that dwells within us. So I want to ask you a question. What is the sin in your life that needs to die? What is it that you've been harboring? What is it that you enjoy that you don't want to put down? And the Lord is saying, you need to destroy this from your life. You know that. I don't know that. But you know that. When we continue in ways that are contrary to God's ways, we walk out from under the protection of God's umbrella and out from under his shield of protection. And so what I'm suggesting to you this morning is that in order for us to be effective in our community, in order for us to be effective in prayers regarding this COVID-19, that we have to put to death those things that so easily ensnare us. Fasting was often used in the Old Testament and the New Testament as ways to eradicate things from our lives. When you get serious over something, then you need to fast from those things, or fast from food. And that is very valuable in the ability and to be able to repent and turn away from these things. The sin in our heart should plague us enough that there should be sorrow in our heart, and we would do whatever is necessary to get rid of it. It should bother us enough. Last December, I shared with someone that I was very close to something that I felt like I needed to share with him, and I spoke in a harsh manner. And it destroyed a relationship. And that has grieved me ever since. And I have determined that I'm not going to speak in a harsh manner anymore. And so what I've begun doing is that since December, I've been fasting one day a week because I don't want that to creep up in my heart again. I don't want it in my life. I want it expelled from my heart. And I want the Lord to eradicate it from my life because it's displeasing to the Lord. And I want to live a life that's pleasing to him. I don't ever want to do that again. And so I'm asking the Lord, Lord, help me to overcome this not a desire so much as it is just a plague that oftentimes I can speak in harshness, and I don't want to do that. I want to destroy everything in my life that's displeasing to him. Scripture says if we take sin seriously, and if we begin to repent of the sin in our life, then something miraculous begins to happen. Scripture says, repent therefore, turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. When we repent, there are some marvelous things that happen. Number one, our sins are blotted out. If we don't repent, sin can't be blotted out. Right. Another thing that happens is that times of refreshing come from the Lord, and we begin to experience a relationship with Christ that we have never experienced before. So what's going to happen if we do that? Scripture says, God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and restore their land. But the Father will respond by one, hearing from heaven. Do you want the Lord to hear your prayers? Amen. I do. The second thing he will do is he will forgive our sin. And the next thing he will do, he will heal our land. So is it possible that Christians have the cure for this COVID-19?
Very possible.
I believe we do. And I believe this is the key that God has shared with us. If we humbly pray, if we seek his face, if we repent from sin, then God will come through. I hope this COVID virus, coronavirus, will drive us to our knees. The world needs us to pray. The world needs us to repent. We can make a difference. Do you realize how much impact you make on the kingdom of God? I don't think many of us do. I don't think we understand the impact that our prayers make. I don't think we understand the difference we can make in the world. You do not realize your importance in the kingdom. It could mean a person coming into the kingdom of Christ. It could mean an awakening beginning in our community around the world. It could mean lives saved from the death of the coronavirus. And it could mean lives saved from going to hell. Jesus is the only one that has the cure for the sin problem, the sin pandemic in our world. Tens of thousands are dying and going to hell without Christ in their hearts. And we Christians hold the answer to the sin problem. We hold the answer to the eternal death problem. eternally being separated from God. Is it possible that we also hold the answer to the COVID-19 pandemic? I believe we do. And I believe if Christians will respond the way Father wants us to, that we will see a decline in the COVID-19. So the question is this. Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to remove every idol from your heart? Are you willing to spend time in repentant prayer regarding the sin in your life? If you are, then when you pray for others, your prayers will be answered. David Wilkerson, in 1987, shared this. I see a plague coming on the world. I see the bars, churches, and the government shut down. The plague will be in New York City and shake it like it has never been shaken. The plague is going to force prayerless believers into radical prayer, into their Bibles, and repentance will be the cry from true men of God in the pulpit. And out of it will come a third great awakening that will sweep America and the world. Praise the Lord. I believe that. I believe that. That's what the Lord is wanting to do during this time. But you and I are a part of that. You and I are a part of that. And so I want to challenge you this week to get with the Lord and begin to work through those issues that maybe you've been struggling with. Begin to work through those issues, that areas in your life that you've been holding on to and that have been holding on to you, and break free from that. And again, if you need help, call the office, get with me. Also on Monday nights and Thursday nights, beginning tomorrow night, Pastor Dean and I are going to be walking people through via Zoom what it takes to walk in the Spirit and what it takes to break out of strongholds. So I invite you to come and join in to our meetings Mondays and Thursday nights. Father, I want to pray for these who've been listening this morning. Lord, this is a difficult message to preach, but Lord, I know that you have the answer. And Lord, I know that you are desirous of us coming before you and laying our heart before you and repenting before you. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who has never given their heart to Christ, I pray that today they would turn from their sins and receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, you said, if my people, which are called by your name, Lord, not everyone is your people, but you want everyone to become your children, become a part of your family. And so, Lord, if there's anyone here today who does not know you as the personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you would move upon their heart and they would give their lives to you. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen.